Yeah, our starting line on the sunny side of sports is African athletics. Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele made a successful debut at the marathon distance Sunday when he won the Paris Marathon in a course record 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 4 seconds. Speaking after the race in the French capital, the three-time Olympic champion said his hamstring cramped after the 25-kilometer mark, but it was okay in the end, and he ran the time that he expected. Kenenisa is the reigning world record holder at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters, and after winning multiple world titles on the track, both indoors and outdoors, he now has shown he can conquer the marathon distance on the roads, too. Another Ethiopian, Limini Getachew, finished second overall in Paris with a time of 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 49 seconds. And Kenya's Luka Kanda was third in 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 2 seconds. In the women's race in Paris, Kenya's Flomena Chaich was the winner in 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 44 seconds. From France, let's go to the Czech Republic, where Kenyan athletes swept the men's and women's titles at the Prague Half Marathon over the weekend. Peter Kurui won the men's title in Prague in a time of 59 minutes and 22 seconds, while Joyce Chepkurui set a new women's course record, clocking 66 minutes and 19 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with overall winner Peter Kurui. Here's Andy.
We're in conversation with the man who's won the Prague Sportissimo Half Marathon 2014. Indeed, he said before the race he didn't think he was in top shape and he was getting back towards full training. But Peter Kurui, not bad for a man who's supposed to be not in top shape. You ran a personal best, 59 minutes 22. How about that?
And I'm very happy to improve my personal best in half marathon. So hope I'll try also to improve my personal best in marathon also. But why not that this year my body and is in top shape now. So I hope everything will be excellence this year.
Well, before the race, you were saying how you'd had 15 months training, learning, studying at the Kenyan Police Academy. You'd just graduated, so you hadn't been able to concentrate, understandably, on athletics training. But did the kind of break from intensive training, do you think it's done you good?
And the last 1 month, we were training hard for the running. So we start running early in the morning, 5:30 a.m. until 7. So from 7 to 5, we were doing our police works.
You've run, as you say, your personal best. Looking at the race today, there was a moment that you, well into the race, when you took advantage of a downhill, a slope, and you really went away from the lead group. You looked very confident. Did it feel that confident?
And from the beginning, the first 2 kilometers, my body did not react good, but and after 5 kilometers, the first 5 kilometers, my body reacted. And the base was very comfortable. The base makers was doing their work excellence. And reaching 10 kilometers, I saw that we were inside 59:30, as we were told in the beginning. So I said, I did not want to let the organizers down because they give us the time. 10 kilometers it should be supposed to be 28:10, and we did with 28:02, and I start pushing. Reaching 13 kilometers, I start pushing myself. I look back, only some 4 men were following me, but reaching 15 kilometers, I knew that I have to win, and I try pushing the best I myself. Thank you.
Well, Peter, you certainly pushed with great effect. And just lastly, you talked about your marathon prospect. Your best is 2:06. You've run your personal best ever at the half distance. You must be very confident, thinking that, you know, when you get really into your stride in training, what you can do at the marathon.
And after this month, maybe early May, I have to concentrate on my serious programs as I did 2 years ago. So since I know that I will come and base here in Prague for Moses Massaf for world record or half marathon or ghost record, I will try my best also. I will push if my body is in top shape like now. I'll try to finish with him.
Well, I think everybody's going to be keenly looking forward to the Prague Marathon, which is on May the 11th. So, just over a month away, 5 weeks away. Seeing you in a pacemaker role, perhaps. Seeing Peter Currie, the winner of today's Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. Well done, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a soccerlicious package of football news is our Nightline Africa sportsman, Segun Dot on the Spot, Adeyemi.
The 2014 FIFA Under-17 Women's World Cup has ended in Costa Rica, and the winner is Japan. Japan beat Spain 2-0 in the final to lift its first FIFA Under-17 Women's World Cup crown. Goals at either end of the final gave Japan victory. The Asians were remarkable at the tournament, winning all their 7 matches. Earlier, Italy finished in third place on penalties, following an action-packed 4-4 encounter against Venezuela. Venezuela remarkably equalized on 4 occasions, including a last-second goal from defender Sandra Luzzatto, only for Italy to prevail 2-0 on penalties. 2 of Africa's 3 representatives at the tournament, Ghana and Nigeria, were eliminated in the quarterfinal stage. The third African team, Zambia, failed to progress beyond the group phase. A record number of supporters, 268,896, attended matches at Costa Rica 2014 at an average of 8,403 fans per match, surpassing the previous mark set at Azerbaijan 2012. Staying with football, President Sepp Blatter of World Soccer's governing body, FIFA.
Sunday, the 6th of April 2014, marks the first United Nations International Day of Sport for Development and Peace, a day that commemorates the contribution of sport to education, human development, healthy lifestyles, and a peaceful world. FIFA and myself firmly believe in the power of football to inspire people, build bridges, and change lives. Indeed, the first of our statutory objectives is to constantly improve the game of football, promoting it globally in the light of its unifying educational, cultural, and humanitarian values, particularly through youth and development programs. Our sport has a truly global reach and offers unparalleled opportunities to communicate with people from all nations and backgrounds across the world, and demonstrates that even in the most difficult settings, such as Afghanistan or Somalia, football can bring hope.
That was FIFA President Sepp Blatter speaking on the first International Day of Sports for Development and Peace. Many thanks to FIFA.com for the audio. FIFA Secretary General Jerome Volque has made a brutally honest assessment of Brazil's World Cup preparations. "If you want me to summarize, we are not ready," he told the Associated Press news agency at a conference in South Africa. Volque's comments come as 2 stadiums, the Itaquerão in Sao Paulo and the Estadio Beira-Rio in Porto Alegre, remain unfinished. Work at the Itaquerão has been delayed because of 3 construction deaths, the latest of which came last weekend. The 68,000-seat stadium is supposed to host the opening match between Brazil and Croatia on June 12th. It was scheduled to be finished in mid-April, but FIFA admits there is no way it will open before May 15. Construction work in Porto Alegre will also come down to the wire, And from Rio comes the report that more than 2,000 Brazilian soldiers stormed the city's shantytown on Saturday with armored personnel carriers and helicopters in a bid to improve security ahead of the World Cup. As dawn broke, the heavily armed soldiers entered the sprawling mayor shantytown, which has been ruled over by drug gangs for years. The occupation of mayor, which is controlled by two rival drug gangs and a militia, began last week when more than 1,000 police officers and marines entered the shantytown. No shots were fired during the first phase of the shantytown's takeover. The occupation is part of the government's strategy to take over some of Rio's more than 1,000 slums before Brazil plays host to the World Cup as well as the 2016 Olympics. Back here in Africa, Asamoah Gyan, captain of Ghana's national team, says expectations are very high for his team at the World Cup. Gyan says the entire nation expects an improvement on the team's quarterfinal finish in the previous competition 4 years ago. But he admits that the challenge is tough, considering the equally tough group in which Ghana is drawn. The Black Stars face Germany, the United States, and Portugal in the first phase. With 4 goals in 8 games at the World Cup to his credit, Jan believes that past experiences will put them in good stead to manage their group, which has been described as a group of death. Thanks a lot for listening. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Segun Adeyemi in Lagos.
Thanks, Segun. Finally, here in the United States, University of Connecticut basketball fans have a lot to cheer for. Both the Connecticut men's and women's teams advanced to the national title games. Connecticut will take on Kentucky later Monday night for the men's national championship near Dallas, Texas. And Connecticut will play Notre Dame Tuesday night in the women's championship game in